Let me just remind you of the objectives of this workshop that we have here, and we will have until 3:30. As you know, Five Compass is finalizing and has already drafted some documents, some guidance documents, fact sheets, and other kinds of documents to help you and all the financial instrument stakeholders implement the financial instruments themselves. And the idea is that we are going to present one of these deliverables that has already been drafted and issued, and two that are almost ready. They're only final things to be done, and that will be available to you very, very soon. These three documents that we're going to cover are, first of all, the action plan, and we will know in a minute what this action plan is about. And then we will cover the ex-ante assessment guidance that you may already know because it's already published, and the advice on financial products, which is another document that will be available to you very, very soon. For this, we have a panel with a variety of speakers, as you can see. Bruno Robino, that you already know from the European Investment Bank. Bjorn Gabriel, also from the European Investment Bank. Ken Roy Kellenoy-Reid from the Greater London Authority, who has a good experience in financial instruments. Rona Michi from the University of Strathclyde. She's an expert in financial instruments. She knows a lot of what financial instruments can do and have done in the past. And Alessandro Valenza, who's also an expert in financial instruments and who works for Five Compass at the moment. Having said that, I encourage you to ask questions, to talk, to make comments if you have any kind of question, remark, whatever thing that you want to say, please feel free and raise your hand. Okay, let's start with the first product that we're going to cover today. Could we have the slides, please? The first product is the action plan. And first of all, I would like to ask Rona, what's the action plan about and why is it so important?
I work at the European Policies Research Centre at Strathclyde University in Glasgow, and we've been involved in some studies during the last programme period on how managing authorities were implementing financial instruments. So today my role is really to chip in now and then with where I can on lessons learned from the last period and how that's feeding into practice potentially in the 2014 to 20 period. And relating to the slide on my right, it was clear in 2007 to 13 that the regulatory contents relating to financial instruments were quite vague in terms of coverage. And so managing authorities as a consequence had to kind of learn by doing. Many lacked experience. Some did have extensive experience, but sometimes this was in the provision of domestically funded instruments, the experience that was available, which was very different from bringing in co-funding, which was very challenging. And I think for everyone involved, it was a very steep learning curve. This experience fed into the new regulations. And now the CPR, the Delegated Act, and the Implementing Act have much more extensive provision, as you'll know, relating to financial instruments, and they make explicit the steps that have to be taken. And it's useful to put this in a sort of life cycle context, so starting from the design phase, moving through setup phase, to implementation phase, and then winding up, although, of course, some of these activities take place in parallel. It's not a linear process. And using an action plan type approach that Alessandro will talk to you about is really important because each of these stages is the building block for the next stage. So the quality, it sounds obvious, but the quality of the ex-ante assessment will lead into the quality of the investment strategy, and then the business plans, which are negotiated with financial intermediaries, the contracts that are agreed, the targets that are set. So ultimately, the success of the instrument, right the way on to when you start thinking about what you're going to do with your legacy funds. So thinking of things in this sort of logical process, although being aware that not everything happens one after the other is quite a useful conceptual framework, I think.
Thank you to be here. I know that speaking after lunch is a little bit tough, so try to not be too boring. So what we do actually with other fact sheet on financial instruments, we try to frame. This is the four canonic phases, as Rona say, you know. So design, setup, implementation, whatnot. So what we try to do is try to synchronize. We synchronize these theoretical four phases of the life cycle with the regulation and with the operational life of financial instrument. So the outcome of this synchronization was actually framing each of these phases into activities. And as you see, I mean, this is activities which are some coming from the regulation, some coming from the experience on the ground. For example, selection of the implementation option. You know, when you are finally, you have the ex-ante assessment and you need to have a decision about how you're going to implement your financial instruments. And then you got the selection of body and the formulation and the funding agreement. So this is the activities that we find in the design phases. And I think that if you look back to your experience, I think that you can find yourself in this moment. As Ron already said, this is not something that is take place in such ordered way. Sometimes we have a kind of loop between the different phases, but more or less this is a schematic and help us to find ourselves in the same page and align the wording. I give you an example. I mean, in our team, there are different, as a multidisciplinary team, so we have a legal expertise, financial expertise, cohesion policy expertise, blah, blah. Sometimes when you use wording like business plan, happens a kind of cataclysm, you know, because you got the financial expert say, business plan, something that, you know, the enterprise is no. And then got the cohesion expert say, no, business plan is something that you have in the funding agreement and blah. So the problem was that we have to bridge these different knowledges. Because in financial instruments, we have the match of two magic words, the word of the financial and the word of cohesion policy. So the purpose of the action plan is try to align the wording that we have in those different words and to make a sense of it. So this is why we try to have this didactic approach and schematic. Following, we have the setup. Here, one point is, for example, that apart from the obligation that derives directly from the regulation, you have these phases that is the setting up of the operational structure. We focus on the setup of operational structure because sometimes, again, these words do not mesh always. So if you speak with the managing authority, sometimes there is an underestimation of the importance of operational arrangement. How you channel the instruments, how you train the people, if I'm going to entrust you because you have to implement my financial products as a loan, this will not stand alone. It will be with the company or other product that you are implementing as a financial intermediary. How I can be sure that this financial product got its own places? Okay. How I'm sure that the people that you are, the team that is implementing this financial product will have a knowledge about all the consequences that we are working in the magic word cohesion policy. All these operational structure have to be set in the setup phases, and this is very important. This is the added value of our fact sheet, if you say. It's not only the reading of the regulation, it's only try to pick up some experience and tips from the operational life of the financial instruments, which doesn't come from the book that you find at the university. Because in making our fact sheet, we have an intense exchange and interaction with the people in the commission, with the people in the IB and the IF, but overall with the managing authority. We involve five managing authorities. We interview them. We provide them with the fact sheet. We try to make what we call the reality test. So does it make sense what we write in the fact sheet or not? Because a lot of things that you find the fact sheet comes from empiric, not from the theory. And this, I think, is the very sense of e-compass, no, Bjorn? I mean, this is the message that we need to deliver to you. We are a platform that is trying to collect and to capitalize the experience that are made around Europe, and we try to make this, let's say, heritage available for everyone. This is the mission. And then if we go to implementation, again, what we try to do is to reorganize the different flows of information, the financial flows, the control flow, all the flows. So who is reading can easily understand which are the different steps that, that normally in the regulation or in the guidance are a little bit spread around. So we try to collect this and make a sense of a logical order. And then we have the winding up, which is the final phases. It's not necessarily say that you are going to wind up your fund. Actually, this is it's not the usual. I mean, normally the fund, the financial instrument is able to survive the operational program. Why an action plan? So an action plan is to provide you basically a common conceptual framework to avoid that when you speak about the business plan with your financial intermediaries, you mean two different things. When you speak about funding agreements with your fund, you have a different understanding. So this is provide an easy guidance to align the languages. Okay? And also to allow you to think together in which are the consequences of the step that you're going to take together. So the fact sheet is made upon these four phases. Again, I will repeat it as a mantra: design, setup, implementation, winding up. And for each of these phases, we foresee a section that provides a framing of each activities. Then you have an explanation of the activity itself, and then some tip that we collect from the ground, basically, that we have as experience. Then we try also to visualize the process in charts. So more or less, this is how our fact sheet is made. Do you like them? Do you like the fact sheet? Again? So they like it.
Thank you, Alessandro. Thank you very much. As Alessandro said, well, this is a concept that they made out of the regulation and also out of the experience. And I would like to ask Ken Roy, if you recognize yourself in this life cycle that was mentioned by Alessandro, and if you would like to add something based on the good experience that you have within your authority in financial instruments.
Thanks very much. I mean, I think it's I mean, absolutely. I can, you know, I've been involved with setting up funds from the 2000-2006 program, and it's quite canny that you can see even then. Okay. Sadly, I didn't have something like this then, so I had to sort of chart my own way. But having done it, you know, then as well as in the 713 program, you can start to see the common themes coming through in the same way that, you know, it's been set out here. I mean, yes, the language might be different. I mean, the way the different areas being categorized might have put some part of the setup phase on the design, but fundamentally, I think, you know, it's really the activities, to my mind, are the important. What are all the activities as listed here that you need to undertake to make your fund successful, and then you can probably group them as you might see fit. And I agree with the groupings here, but it's really fundamentally that you understand the different steps that will get you there, and it's important to understand the end-to-end process completely, because, I mean, you know, you might go ahead, do all the work on the first step, thinking it's completed, but it might have a significant impact on the final step, which you'll have to go back to. So I think it's useful to have an understanding of the end-to-end process in actually setting up your funds.
Is it better now? Yes. Open question. I see the life cycle of the financial instruments, and I was a bit maybe not surprised, but winding up. Why not maybe a ex-post assessment? Is that something that is considered in the regulatory framework, something that managing authorities are obliged to conduct self-exposed assessments?
Bruno, would you like to have this?
No, actually, you are right. It's not compulsory, but it's recommended. So probably...
It would be good practice to include that. To some extent, the ex ante, which is not an ex post assessment, might cover partially lesson learned, which is basically an assessment of what went wrong or went well in the previous one. So based on what happened in the previous one, I would expect that the ex ante would cover this. I would not expect in the ex ante a detailed analysis of I was planning to arrive to point B, I arrived to point C, what is the difference and how can I, what can I do in order to remedy to that. It is called X, and we'll come to that. And thank you for this question, because this will allow us to get into the next, explanation. I would expect this more into the ex ante, but not as a detailed ex post. And again, it's not compulsory, contrary to maybe other programs or initiatives, where at the end of the cycle, and there you might be right, there is a need for an ex post assessment prior to even think to launch the next generation.
I mean, just to complement the information, and I would like also to know what Rona knows, because he is engaged in an ex post evaluation of financial instruments 2007-2013, so I think he's in the middle of the sea now. But there are two things that also we have to take in account, having in mind the need of having an assessment ex post. First of all, is that there is not an exact coincidence about the timing of the OP and the timing of the financial instrument. So you can have a widen up earlier, or you can have a widen up, or you can't. I mean, the widen up can, I mean, the financial instrument is like a good. So having this instruction on the regulation might be tricky, because the regulation can also refer to the programming period. And if there's any extra requirement. But having said that, inside the regulation, you already point of reflection of what the financial instrument is doing. For example, Article 46 is about the quality of information you need to provide. And this, you know that in the annual implementation report, you need to have an annex that is providing information about the financial instrument. And one of the point of this is that you have to provide, I mean, as a managing authority, you have to provide which is the contribution or your financial instrument to the thematic objective. So this is already is a rolling base, an assessment of what your financial instrument is doing. Because you have also to say, if I'm working with within thematic objective one, which is innovation R&D, and I got a venture capital that is working with a startup innovative, I have to always to say in my annual implementation report, which is the contribution of my venture capital to this thematic object. As you know, that each thematic object has got a result indicator. So I think that you need always to interlink. This is for the future. And also, on the other way around, you need also to evaluate each thematic priorities once in the programming period. So if in your priority you've got the financial instrument, of course you are going to evaluate it. So you have moment of where you need to reflect about the achievement of your financial instrument in relation with the OP strategy.
Thank you. Yes, what Alessandra was referring to, the commission level ex post evaluations, which are underway at the moment. So now that it's no longer mandatory to at program level to carry them out, the commission habitually anyway carries out the ex posts of the previous period. So there is one underway at the moment on financial instruments during the 2007-13 period, which should be completed in about October this year. There are some results already coming out of some of the other work packages, for example, on, I think, enterprise support more generally, not just through financial instruments. And they're appearing on the Commission's website already, I think some of the interim reports. But another element of good practice can be to conduct a midterm review, which ties in with something that will come up next in the ex-ante assessment slides, but a midterm review more generally of how the instrument is progressing. And I think that's been used quite usefully in some member states during the current or previous period.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Yes, please. Could we have a microphone here?
Good morning. My name is Esteban Pelayo. I work for the region of Murcia. We are in the first stages. We are preparing the ex-ante assessment, and we are worried that if we don't control everything, because this is something, new regulation, new programming period, despite we have done financial instrument in the past. And I have a specific question regarding of that. The legal and regulatory framework is the Common Provision Regulation, the Delegate Act, the Implementing Act, and then we should read all the guides that FICOMPASS is producing. And more or less, that's all, and we are missing something. That's a very practical question, sorry for that, but it's because we are afraid that we miss something important. Thank you.
Please.
Good question. Is that all? Well, what you should definitely—I mean, I guess the very foundation is the regulatory framework in which you work. So those references that you have just stated are the obvious starting points to undertake the work. What FICOMPASS does is to, as Alessandro said, try to pull together the market experience that there is out there from the past programming period, but also from ex-ante assessments now, and to translate them into recommendations, operational recommendations that you can. You don't have to, but you can consider on top of the legal framework that there is, because it will help you to take the necessary steps in a very structured way. The documentation that FICOMPASS prepares and provides is not compulsory. What we want to do is to offer you checklists, hints, tips, advice, good practice examples, maybe sometimes even bad practice examples. We haven't done that yet, but maybe we should consider. But in order to help you to do the work better, with the partners that you have on the ground, I guess, with the local experts, consultancies that you have there, financial intermediaries, etc. So I think this is the context in which we're moving.
Bruno, please. Okay, Kenroy, and then Bruno.
Yes, I was just going to add quickly that, I mean, it's also as part of the suite of legal framework. It's very important. I think, I don't know if it was mentioned here or maybe on the other section. It's state aid. I mean, it's very important. I mean, you might not be able to squeeze it in the setup, but certainly in the design phase, I'd advise that you do actually take into account at that stage, because you might, if you probably leave it later, you might that you have to come back and redesign things. So it's just state aid and procurement is also another key area to make sure that you understand.
Thank you, Bruno.
State aid was exactly what I had in mind. But then if you want to overcomplicate your life, you can even start from the definition of SMEs in case you might have financial instruments which are where the final beneficiary is SME. So what is an SME and what is not? And also if there are other definitions provided by the European Commission, I'm thinking, for example, of the provision or the definition of microfinance. What is microfinance and what is not microfinance? So you can. There are extremely creative ways to complicate your life if you want.
Thank you.
And of course, to other definition which might be relevant in case of agriculture, fisheries, and all the other, I would say, funds which might be used for implementation of financial instruments.
Thank you very much. There's another question, the lady over there.
Yes, it's a question for the EIB representative. I am a professor. I was a coordinator of under DG research, but on socioeconomic studies, and especially for evaluation methodologies, And these research protocols have been evaluated by the DG Research as a very high policy relevance for mechanism of funding and reform of healthcare budgets. Now, my question is, can this research, which can be commercialized in decision tool, in medical informatic system of hospital or regional fund, if they have accountability of social security allocations resources, can you help with sustained development financing this kind of cost? Because I can't find that the innovation funds from regions or the commercialization side of the DG research programs have a mechanism to do so. And I would like to know if there is a scope for this in the financial instrument. And the second question, because I didn't find anything in Europe, I went to US. I have created a scientific enterprise, R&D operations for implementation of this cost-sharing mechanism in medical informatics and medical billing system. And I'd like to find now a partnership, and I discuss a potential SuperFi in Luxembourg, but again, I don't have financial mechanisms. So my question is also, do you think I can fit with your financial instrument?
Who would like to answer?
I'll start. On the second question, maybe, you mentioned the enterprise that you have and the fact that you do not have access to finance, etc. So, I mean, as you've noticed, we talk about regions setting up, using their structural funds that they have at their disposal to set up financial instruments in a territorial context, be it a region or be it at national level. So I think depending on where your business is, your enterprise is based, I think a first step would be to assess the different funding possibilities that you have there. Talking about these financial instruments that we're discussing today, the ISIF financial instruments, if you're a country where you have a decentralized structure with managing authorities being at regional level, it could well be that you find such instrument. A first starting point to look at maybe is a commission website that is called, I think, SME Access to Finance or accesstofinance.eu. You can see there which kind of EU budget resources are actually available, primarily by way of financial instruments, in order to support enterprises wherever they sit. But I think the important question here is, where are you based and what are the instruments that are available so you can present your case?
I would complement, but I don't want that it's only an information to you. As the European Commission has this website by country, also, to the best of my knowledge, EIF has a similar website. So you might click on a country and understand which type of financial intermediaries are providing, are in a playing mode with the kind of company. So most likely, and depending on the stage and the phase, you might need a adapted source of financing. Would that be coming from, I do not know, business angels or early stage venture capitalist or more sophisticated venture capitalist? This is possible to find, and to find sometimes the link with the financial intermediaries on the website of the EIF. Of course, it's not a comprehensive list. This is only the players which have or reach an agreement with the European Investment Fund, not only for the centralized managed instrument, but also from other sources of funds, for example, coming from the European Investment Bank, and also the ones where EIF was entrusted with mandate at regional or national level, for example, in the framework of Jeremy. So it's a rather comprehensive. I will not say that you will be, for sure, you will able to find the right away your appropriate financial intermediary, which will be willing to listen and will be willing to be convinced about your story, business story, but at least you will have an idea of what's going on. With the same token, sometimes some member states and some region might have a similar mapping of what is the public money available at national level or regional level. Of course, not all the member states and not all the regions.
For the first question, if my understanding is correctly, you were inquiring more about the role of the EIB actually in its role as a bank in order to support innovation funding. Is that correct? The first question that you had.
Yes, I'm just concerned that the first answer you give, access to funding depend on countries and your location, but the problem is that there is no location because you need funding for legal European enterprise
This seems to be a very specific case. Maybe we can discuss it. Maybe we can discuss
yes,
it bilaterally
after
that
we've
session.
We've been approached with five governments in Gashtein, EIB, and the threshold was very high because it was a collective initiative of five countries at the beginning, and so five governments. Ministries were interested in a potentially matching fund from ERB,
mm-hmm.
but it has never been in the scope of the threshold at that time.
Yeah.
Now I start from the bottom, I see you go from the microcredit, so okay. It's different and I prefer to...
But maybe we
afterwards.
Can further elaborate that in after this session, because there are a few tools that the bank has, be it on the advisory side, InnoFin, for example, or be it the more classical lending products that the bank has. But I agree, for the classical lending, thresholds are high. But maybe we can discuss that after the session.
Yeah.